Harper Audio presents Furious Love, Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, and The Marriage of the Century by Sam Kashner and Nancy Schoenberger. Read by Paul Bamer. Preface. I am forever punished by the gods for being given the fire and trying to put it out. The fire, of course, is you. Richard Burton. Since I was a little girl, I believed I was a child of destiny. And if that is true, Richard Burton was surely my fate. Elizabeth Taylor. When asked by Time magazine a few years ago to name the five great love affairs of all time, the Texas-born gossip columnist Liz Smith didn't even have to think about who would occupy first place. The Burtons, of course. Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor were the most vivid example of a public love affair that I can think of. The Burtons and the Lindbergh baby being kidnapped and Kennedy's assassination. These are the biggest stories of our time. Whenever somebody says, so-and-so is a big star, I say, have they been condemned by the Vatican? Their 13-year saga was the most notorious, publicized, celebrated, and vilified love affair of its day. Indeed, their 10-year marriage, followed by a divorce, remarriage, and a final divorce, was often called the marriage of the century in the press. Just 30 years earlier, the Duke of Windsor had embarked upon his own famous marriage to Wallis Simpson, giving up the throne of England to marry the American divorcee from Baltimore. A nation wept, but the Duke and Duchess of Windsor went on to rule a shadow empire of jet-setters, aristocrats, gigolos, international bon vivants, in a floating world of yachts, dance floors, casinos, and the homes and hotels of the very rich. So famous were the Burtons in the 1960s and 1970s that the Duke and the Duchess were their only peers, the only other couple who knew what it was like to be pariahs for a time, to pay a high price for their choices, and to live the rest of their lives in isolated luxury. But the notorious Burtons managed to win their way back into the hearts of the American public through sheer talent, hard work, chutzpah, and glamour. On the face of it, said columnist Smith, Elizabeth Taylor was just totally arrogant. She'd walk out in capri pants and her Cleopatra makeup and her kerchief and go off to whatever local restaurant and drink up a storm with Burton. That's part of what excited the public. Her vulgarity and her arrogance and the money. Oh, God, their love story had everything. It also brought us the modern accoutrements of celebrity, the relentless paparazzi, the continuous press exposure, the public airing of private grief. In short, it brought us Liz and Dick, a tabloid shorthand that they hated, but that stood for everything extravagant and over the top about their all too public lives. In fact, you might say there were two marriages, the ballyhooed union of Liz and Dick, and the private marriage of Richard and Elizabeth. More often than not, Liz and Dick overwhelmed the private marriage, holding it hostage and ultimately helping to destroy it. The yachts, the glamorous ports of call, Monte Carlo, Portofino, the grand hotels of the world, the fabled jewels, the homes in London, Kestat, Seligny, and Puerto Vallarta, the hobnobbing with the Rothschilds, Arionassis, General Tito of Yugoslavia, and, of course, the Windsors. They were indeed Hollywood royalty. But like any other married couple, they had to deal with children coming of age during the cultural upheavals of the 1960s. Communes, family squabbles, balancing two careers, even if their careers meant making some of the most remarkable films of the 1960s. In short, the real marriage of two people trying to live their lives together.